off the bridle. 111, 2 and 7 for me in the last, but with the odd numbers.
So 111, 2, 7 there, and your best, Gaz, we better get your quaddie as well.
Yeah, I like race 2, number 2, Scarlet Missile. I think he's back to country grade, right type of race, and race 4, number 1, yes, he'll get his chance to get out of maiden company. So race 2, number 6, race 4, number 1. Quaddie numbers, first leg, just short, 115 in the first leg, and 3, 1, 4 and 8 in the second leg, 1 and 13 in the third leg, and 1, 11, 2 in that last leg sign.
Thanks, Gary, and you'll be in the yard with Priscilla.
No, Priscilla's off for a few days, mate, and I'll be doing solo today, mate.
Right, okay, Gary, you'll be working hard then.
Pretty easy time. I'll be about.
Enjoy the afternoon, Gaz. I'll catch up with you later.
Will do. Thanks, Jan.
There he is, Gary Cleese with his look at Coffs Harbour. Sky Sports Radio, it's 10:30.
On the pace, every weekday morning at 10:30.
And Fred Hastings joins me now to take a look at all things harness racing. Fred, good morning.
Simon, top of the morning to you, mate.
How's the week been?
It's been a good week of racing. We've seen some very good racing during the course of the week. Of course, again, the Luke McCarthy dominance continued at Menangle last night and Cray Cross. Simon, Luke drove 3 of the 8 winners from just 6 drives. I think he had one placing as well amongst that. And Cray Cross trained half of the card. So their flying start to the season continues. Luke sits on 15 season wins after just 2 weeks of the new season. And Cray Cross sits on 16. And they are a mile ahead of their nearest trainer or driver. Obviously, as the season unfolds and the way swings and roundabouts work in racing, the gap no doubt will be bridged by some of the other top trainers and drivers in the state. But at the moment, they're off to a flyer. Luke drove Benicio, Affronte and Little Rascal to victories. The other of Cray Cross's wins was with Cruz, and Cruz basically flew off the arm, outpaced Lord Zinzan early, and that's no mean feat. Lord Zinzan can get off the arm real quick, and Cruz actually went the quickest time of the night, pacing 150.4. Went one last week and was sent around at good odds again last night, stepping up in grade, but managed the rise very, very comfortably. And young Leonard Kane continues his rise. He's a young fellow who was originally brought down from Queensland to drive predominantly for the Noel Daly barn, but he's getting a few outside drives, and he handled a horse of Craig Cross's at Penrith, Simon, called Senora Rapido, who went around at $1.28. And on paper, you'd expected Senora Rapido to absolutely dominate, but a victim of circumstances from the draw. It was caught 4 deep out of the straight when they left the straight after the start. It was 4 deep going down the back straight with a lap and a half to go. Leonard was able to get the horse to the lead coming down the side of the track before the bell, and then in the straight, they were coming at Senora Rapido left, right and centre, and the young fella kept his cool, he kept his composure when things weren't going well, and he was able to be rewarded with that, with a win in the straight by a couple of metres. If you took the $1.28, your heart was possibly in your mouth for the first half lap, but as I said, the young fella didn't panic, and he was able to get that mare home on Thursday night. So he's a driver to watch, sign, Leonard Kane. The other few highlights from last night. Jake Sportsrider bounced back into the winner's circle. It was a real nice drive from Jack Traynor. Got the horse to the outer extremities of the track at the right time, and the horse was able to do the rest. Quite impressed, and good to see him bounce back. And a horse last night, Simon, I hope you had a dollar on it, Drive the Dream. Now, it was back on the inside in facing a wall of horses coming for home, and I spotted the horse at about the 200 just trying to angle into the clear, and you could see it was travelling. Well, to my surprise, when the horse got into the clear and let down and won, I looked at the tote screen. It paid $115 for the win, and $151 was its SP, $151, $150 to $1 in the old speak, and it really won like a horse that you would have expected to see in the market. To be fair, and this is no disrespect to the horse, its form was, on paper, fairly ordinary, form at Marburg in Queensland, and then finished unplaced in Sydney at its only try, but produced at the right time, and I've got to give Jason Grimson a rap. He was able to put the horse into the clear at the right time, and it was able to do the rest.
Now, when they're those odds, Freddie, I tell you what, I've been following Jamie Carr very closely, and do you think I have $1 on Gatting yesterday?
Where this is headed, Simon. It's not going to be pretty.
No. You're left shaking at the end of it.
Yeah, well, imagine the people that took the short Mystic Journey, but that's another story. But the smart putter's got a Mystic Journey a place, I guess. But anyway, all that said, Simon, it was a good night of racing. We had a Group 3 race last night, and it was a really good heat and final series, the New Year Gift, the Lazarus New Year Gift. And there were quite a number of contenders. Pitch Perfect was one of the favourites for the race. Let's see how it panned out.
No Respite up front. They're still going stride for stride. Race Choice on the inside. On its outside, Coco's Fella. Peeling out now, Bo Hannon. Looking to get into the clear at the right time as Pitch Perfect. And then came to seize it on the outside. 27 for the quarter. Coco's Fella puts the nose in front of Race Choice. Pitch Perfect comes at the pair. De Caesar has the last crack. It's flooding home. Narrow leader, Coco's Fella. It's Coco's Fella. This has been a giant performance. Coco's Fella. Coco's Fella, what an effort, breezed all the way in a hot tempo and has been too good for either Pitch Perfect, Race Choice, and then De Caesar. Hammering home was Better Be Lucky.
And that was the replay there of the Group 3 Lazarus new season gift last night. Freddie, taken out by Coco's Fella, just knocking off Pitch Perfect there, and Race Choice ran third.
Yeah, and Shane Tritton prepares Coco's Fella. He had a very strong team in last night, and with pretty fair results. Shane joins us this morning. G'day, Shane.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Well, now, Coco's Fella, that's the horse's fastest mile, 150.8 last night. Sat parked on quarters of 26.9, 28.8, 27.4, 27.7, and just outstayed them. I thought it was the win of the night.
Yeah, look, he's been an interesting horse. The owners found him in Melbourne and sent him up, and he's got some weird characteristics. He doesn't trust his surroundings, and he's a very immature-minded horse. But, it was just great to see him. It's been a long plan that's come off, and we took a few chances in how to drive him, and me and Lauren spoke about it before the race. And every time this horse sits outside the leader, they seem to run home in 26, and she just said, well, look, we'll just take it to him, and we think he's the best horse in the race, and hopefully he can do the rest. And yeah, it was just it was goosebumps seeing it come off. It was a good night.
Yeah, you've got the horse around the middle of the month of May. He's had 11 starts under your care and has won three races, placed six times. And those unplaced performances, one of them was he stepped up into to Group 3 company, and the other one just no luck and was, you know, posted. One of the things about him, Shane, and I noticed this when he ran his first two runs for you, he ran second, very tough, a tough horse who can do some work, and that obviously was evidenced last night to be sitting parked in those times. And hats off to Race Choice, he whacked away and picked up the third spot, but your horse just really put it to him, as you said, and he's got a lot of toughness in him.
Yeah, look, he's just a horse, like even last night, I honestly don't believe he knows how fast he is, and he doesn't go flat out. He's only ever racing the horses around him, and we worked it out one day. He sat outside a horse at Kevin's, and they went 150, and it should have beat him by four lengths. And he sat outside in the whole way and ran into a nose in the line. And Lauren came back and said, he can do it, this horse. He just doesn't know what he's meant to do. As soon as he gets his bibby in front, he sort of sits there and waits for him. But, he's going to be a star of the future. We just got to wait for him to realise what he's out there to do. But, it was just over the moon to see it come off last night. And, when the big races come around, I'm sure he's going to be part of them.
He's a five-year-old, and obviously, as you say, he's still learning it, but definitely learning based on what we saw last night. What exactly did Lauren say when she came in? I'm sure she would have been stoked with the plan coming off, but would have been stoked just to win the way he did.
Yeah, look, she said the same thing. She said he just switches off, you know. He has them all covered halfway down the straight, and they were never going to beat him last night. But what's been happening is most of these races, we've sort of, it takes too long to get up there and get the pressure on, where last night she really fired him up and got him up there early to keep the speed on the whole way, and it took the speed out of the horses on the end. And, you know, that's what the really great horses can do. And I think when he can be amongst a team of horses that are all going to run and race the race true, because he can sit. He's actually very fast. He just he just doesn't know how to go when.
I was just going to ask, do you think he's a better, given his dourness at times, his toughness, I should say, is he a better stayer, do you think, or he has got the speed in the legs as evidenced by his near sub 150 last night?
I just think he, like he's shown us one of his first wins, he sat up and they sprinted home in 26 and he rounded him up straight away. He has got the turn of foot, but he needs to be following another horse that's got the turn of foot, and that's half his problem. He doesn't really know how to switch on, but he'll definitely benefit by racing better horses, and, you know, we just got to keep putting him into the fight and he'll do the rest.
What have you got mapped out for him going forward, Shane?
Yeah, it's a bit of a tough one because we're trying to work out where we should go. The whole rating system thing just changes everything a little bit. We'd like to sort of push on and try and get to a Victoria Cup if we can get some free-for-all form under his belt, but not really sure how that all works with ratings now. So it's hard to know which way he'll go, but I think we'll nominate him for this Friday and take on the free-for-allers and over the 2300 and see what he can do against the likes of Tiger and that. And I think, you know, he's racing at the top of his game now, and he pulled up a treat from the run, so I think we'll just roll the dice with him and see how far it can go.
As I said, good night at the office. You had placings with Yaya's Hotspot, who dead-heated for second, Blue Moon Rising Red third, AFL grabbed in the shadows of the post. But the two horses, or three horses I just wanted to touch on, were horses that finished out of the money, Shane, just quickly. Destiny Warrior, all okay with Destiny Warrior, dropped out from about, well, was never really travelling. I said in the call, couldn't get the death seat horses back for the 1-1 and dropped out. Is everything okay with Destiny Warrior?
Yeah, I think what happened there, if you see just after the winning post the first time, Lauren had to really restrain him to get on the back of Jedi Mine, and he might have just choked off. Because as soon as that happened, he dropped the bit, and he's a horse that generally does travel pretty hard on the bit. So I think he's probably just cut his airway off a bit, and that just obviously showed a couple hundred metres later he was losing ground. So, yeah, look, we'll reassess things with him. And he obviously trialled better on Tuesday, and he should have been competitive in that race. But he'll, we'll try and sort that issue out. We're still learning with him, so he should bounce back.
Lombokota Kinabalu, all okay there?
Yeah, look, he was probably on face value a bit disappointing, but we probably forget that he's had so much time off and put him into the race and, you know, drove him like the horse that he used to be, and he may not have been quite ready to sit parked and go 50, so we'll just refresh him up for a couple of weeks and we'll probably forgive him every now and again.
I think he's earned that, I guess. What about God's Spirit? Now, this is a bit of an enigma, this horse. We know the talent he's got, and you've tried altering the way you drive him. Where to with God's Spirit?
Yeah, look, he just probably lost himself a little bit. To be honest, his work during the week was probably better than it's ever been, and his cardio seems like it's improved a hell of a lot. We drew bad last night, and I just wanted him to get back and try and drive him for luck, and the luck never came, and he probably never got off a helmet, to be honest. But the way the rating system is, he's gone from racing in MO straight to the free-for-all, and he may not have been quite ready for that. So I think after last night, he drops back to an easier grade, and it'd be nice to see him have a couple of runs where he can start to use his speed and be a bit more dominant. But yeah, he's a strange one. He's always had an issue that we don't know how we're going to handle his speed and allow him to use it against the better horses, and we're trying to work out a way that he can do that. But at the moment, he's a bit lost when he tries to sit up, but when he goes forward, he probably bites off more than he can chew. So
yes,
it's a balancing act at the moment, but it's still all there, Freddie, I can guarantee you that.
As I said, he's a little bit on the enigmatic side. Before I let you go, Shane, where's Muscle Factory at?
Yeah, look, he's coming along really well. We're starting to tighten him up a little bit, and he's down to work in, you know, relatively solid times. There's still no due date for when he's going to be back to the trials, but he's certainly pushing forward in his work. And, we've got a couple of new ones on the way back too. We've got Fun at the Beach is not going to be too far away, which is an interesting one. We've got a fairly good opinion of him. So, yeah, it will be interesting to try and get some horses out there to take battle with the Craig Cross team.
We'll have to have a chat as some of these horses come back, eh?
Yeah, well, look, it's good to have good horses around the barn, and you know, we're pretty lucky that way. We've always got a good horse on the way through, and hopefully it's a good season ahead.
Good luck to you, Shane. Best wishes to you and Lauren, and thanks for giving us some time this morning.
Too easy. Thanks, mate.
Always good to talk to Shane Simon. He's very forthright and telling us there about some of his team. Just before I sign off for the week, Simon, one of the big news stories in harness in New South Wales broke late in the week. It was the news that Bling It On,
former Hutter Cup winner, multiple Group 1 winner, who had been retired to stud about 18 months ago, was retired, has served over 200 mares, but they've put the horse back into work, more or less just to you know, get some of the pudding off him over winter, but he was doing so well that he'll actually be stepping out at the trials on Monday at Menangle. Bling it on. Good to see it back. He's got yearlings on the ground, you know, and he's going to be going around, hopefully. We'll see him back at the races.
Yes, there's a good article here written by Amanda Rando on the Australian Harness Racing website regarding Bling It On, and his last start was well over a year ago now in the J.D. Watts Memorial on June 9 last year.
Well, June, yeah, that's right, yeah, because that was always run at June at Fairfield, and last year it was run at Menangle for the first time, but he hadn't been seen since, and served mares and was living the life of Riley, but the team there out at Cobbity Equine thought he was getting a bit like me, a bit full of pudding, and needed, maybe I need to go to Cobbity Equine and they can jog me around a paddock.
Yeah, you and
me. Yeah, they got him fit. Fit enough at least to trial, and that's great news. I mean, this horse, this is a horse who's, as I said, a terrific performer. He nearly had a season or career-ending injury in a horrific fall at Albion Park going back, and he came back from that with some good form, and unfortunately it tapered off, and I just thought, well, maybe it's time to you know, retire him, but he's got other ideas, and as I said, back at the trials tomorrow, and keep your eyes out for Bling It On in coming weeks in one of the fast class races at Menangle.
The vets and the surgeons are just brilliant these days, aren't they? You look at some of the horses that come back from catastrophic injuries. Kingsville Dream yesterday had a shattered pelvis after the Cox Plate last year, and Galo Shop had all sorts of leg problems, and they get them back to the track. It's a remarkable effort, isn't it?
It is, Simon. I suppose we see it in, you know, like in human medical terms, you know, the things that the medical profession can do now that they couldn't do, you know, 15, 25, 30, 40 years ago. It's the same with the advancements in veterinary science and in particular the equine side of things. So, you know, yeah, hats off to the vets. I mean, as I said, Bling It On's injuries, they were terrible. He scraped, as I recall, he scraped his skin down to the bone. So he was lucky to come back. He came back, won some races, placed in a few, and then, as I said, he was off to stud, but is back at the track, which is great news.
Good stuff, Freddie. It's always good to catch up with you on a Friday morning, and at least the Roosters won for you on Friday on a Sunday morning.
Sunday
I should
morning.
Say the Roosters won for you on a Friday night.
You were confusing me then, but yeah, it was a great win by the Roosters. It looks like we might play, might end up playing Melbourne. So that's if Melbourne beat the winner of the Brisbane Parramatta game next week. But we won't get the rematch that we pretty much thought most of the season we would get. So Canberra threw a spanner in the works, but hopefully the Roosters will get through and make it back-to-back wins, mate.
Okay, yes, it's been a weekend of upsets.
Indeed it has, yes, in all manner of speaking. I bet you don't miss scatting next time, Jack, around, but you won't get 150-1.
Good stuff, Freddie. We'll catch you next week.
Cheers, son.
Now, Fred Hastings there. It's 12 minutes to 11.
The stars shine daily in greyhound racing. And you get the latest here on Sky Sports Radio. Your racing and sports leader.
Righto, we'll chat about greyhound racing now. And Mick Cowley from Greyhound Racing New South Wales is on the line. Mick, good morning.
Good morning, Simon. How are you this week?
Yeah, not too bad. We've got a big meeting at Dubbo coming up this evening with a couple of heats of the Million Dollar Chase.
Well, we do indeed. The Million Dollar Chase Circus pictures its tent in Dubbo today, and it's a massive day up in Dubbo, and we're actually joined by the president of the club. Shane Stiff joins us online. Morning, Shane.
Morning, Mick. Morning, Simon. And morning, listeners. How are you?
Very good, mate. Very good. As I said, it's obviously Dubbo Cup Day at the Thoroughbreds there today, and then hopefully get everyone from the track over to the Greyhound Club tonight for a big night there.
Mate, yeah, we've got even though the focus is on next Saturday night, we've still got a big night planned tonight. We have local singer Duncan Fergus playing, and, mate, it's God's country here, Dubbo, this morning. I don't know about the horse track, but the dog track here, sun's shining, there's not a cloud in the sky, and the track is beautiful and fast. The penetrometer reading at 20, so with the horse tracks like that, it'll be lightning fast too.
Mate, absolutely. You've got you've drawn a couple of good heats with some very handy dogs in there. You know, Jimmy Casey and Inversion in that first heat. Jack Smith got a one in there as well, and Rinka Lizzie. And of course, in the second heat, you've got Midnight Dare returns to Dubbo. Apparently, he's never raced there, but certainly been around there a few times, David Pringle was telling me.
mate. David and the family do a lot of their trialing here at Dubbo, and she's off the old trial book. She's still one of the fastest bits I've seen around here. She's a rocket. Like this time last year at Canningbull, she was the talk of the town, greyhound racing here in New South Wales. And as I said, what a great heat. An old Pringle dog in Buck's Future in the one, and Charmaine's got Annabelle, and Brett Bravo, the big trainer from Melbourne, making all the way from Melbourne with this query dog little that he won't tell anyone anything about. So it's certainly a great heat, and trying to find the winner's the hard part. And you said the second heat, well, not a race out here in the bush without Jack Smith in it. Rinka Lizzie, and she's an old war horse. And Barnes is with Nengar Giff and Jimmy Casey, and an ex-Jack Smith dog in Inversion that's flying for Mick Hardman. That's two great fields. The club's very happy.
Well, as you should be, and we shouldn't forget too last year that, you know, Dubbo Midnight Starlet won the final at Dubbo and made it all the way through the semis and then into the grand final. So it's one of the two regionals actually that ended up supplying a grand finals last year. So there's plenty of form going out of these Dubbo heats and finals.
Oh, listen, it's a great concept from Greyhound Racing New South Wales. It was a big boost last year to have a $1 million race, and, you know, to have it again this year and to make it a permanent fixture, let's get it up to that group status. At Group 1, I think it should be Group 1 with a few pluses next to it, $1 million to the winner. You know, like, there's people paying a fortune to feed horses that are racing today, and some of the races aren't worth what our dog races are worth now. So it could not be a better time to own or race a greyhound in New South Wales.
And next Saturday night, Shane, you've obviously got the massive night. You've got Adam Harvey performing after the last. You've got your regional final. And there's obviously a big A-League trial match in town as well. And you're looking to hopefully come off the back of that and get a few of those supporters to the dogs as well.
Mate, anyone that goes to the A-League game gets free entry into the dogs with their same bigot. We've done a deal with the council. Dubbo Council being very supportive of greyhound racing here at Dawson Park, and a big thank you to them. But the whole community in Dubbo have got right behind it. I'm tipping a real, real, real big, massive brand, and then the entertainment of Adam too. Like, where can you go and pay $7 to get in and see Adam Harvey, you know, performing live, you know? And before that, you get to watch the fastest sport on legs, greyhound racing, for 10. Hopefully we get 11 or...
Okay, looks like we've lost our lines there. We'll take a... might have to take a quick break here. Yeah, we've definitely lost both telephone lines here to Mick and to Shane as well. Let's take a quick break.
Business or financial difficulties? Don't wait. Talk to Insolve now for qualified advice from trustworthy people. Money stress can be an unruly beast. Insolve can help you tame your business or financial problems before they eat you up. Tame the beast at insolve.com.au.
Okay, it's 7 minutes to 11. We did lose our lines there. Hopefully I've got Mick back. Mick, we got you loud and clear?
You got me loud and clear, Simon?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. It was like a power surge through the panel, but... anyway, Shane, well, we got the bulk of the big program from Dubbo coming up with Shane there anyway, and a couple of good heats tonight, and there's some good heats coming up over the next week.
Mate, there is indeed. It's pretty much everything is $1 million chase at the moment. Just quickly rattling through what's been happening over the last week, and obviously last night at Bulleye was a fantastic heat, a fantastic final, pardon me, with quite a few Victorians heading to Bulleye, the wide open spaces of Bulleye, and the final was taken out by the Daily Kennel and Shimmer Shine.
All set, ready, racing. Pindara Express away, AOK showing good pace. She's gifted, and Western Envoy's up there early doors. Quickly to third, Whiskey Riot there, followed then by Pindara Express. Shimmer Shine's with him as Pindara duck back to the rail. Shimmer Shine went past him, well back, Slingshot Hammer, and Dinah Patty back at the tail. Western Envoy leads. Shimmer Shine moved up and down the outside. Pindara Express, but it's Shimmer Shine in front, and Shimmer Shine's going to win the Bulleye Regional Final from Pindara Express. Western Envoy and Premium Share. Those four will head to the big smoke. Next up was Dinah...
Yeah, Kel's call there of the regional final, Mick, that was on at Bulleye last night. And as you said there, it was Shimmer Shine for Andrea Daly getting the money over Pindara Express. Western Envoy third and Premium Share for Jeff Britton ran fourth.
No, very handy. When that greyhound doesn't turn two until November this year, so still very young, still learning the game, but already been a fast learner. 9 starts for 7 wins, broken a track record of Ballarat over 450 in those 7 wins. Tom Daly, Andrea's husband, actually spoke last night and said that, yeah, they will take the dog to Wentworth Park to give it a couple of looks because they've only ever been around a horseshoe track. But he was full of praise for the potential of the dog, and they have had some good dogs in their kennel. Fernando Bale, obviously, and Dino Double One's another one. They can find a dog, and Tom certainly thinks that potential-wise, and a long way to go, potentially this dog could be another one of the really good ones.
And how about some of the other ones that have come through that final?
Like the other ones getting through Pindari Express, Tracy Screws only has one dog in a kennel, trains chiefly in Sydney's eastern suburbs, and she was delighted just to get through to the semi-finals, finishing second. Tracy, like Tom Daly, said that she'll give Pindari Express a few looks at Wentworth Park between now and the semi-finals on October 11. And, of course, we shouldn't forget Pindari Express has been around Wentworth Park in 29-4 in the heats of the Golden Easter Egg. So certainly a candidate for the semi-finals and potentially grand final. And of Jeff Britton getting his two dogs through Western Envoy, a bit of a surprise, but certainly stood up through the series. And the national sprint champion, the West Australian Premium Share, snuck into fourth place, but that's good enough to get a start at Wentworth Park in those semi-finals.
And Andrea Daly had two of the heat winners from Friday night at Richmond.
Certainly cleaned up at Richmond. Collected, won all the heats, and had the fastest of the night as well, Jarro Bale. Very handy performer. I know the kennel has a fair rap on this dog. And it was the standout of the night. Unfortunately for Peter Legazzioni and his wife Jody, Mystic Bryant, the defending champion, couldn't finish in the placings to get a start in next week's regional final. So Peter's decided that what they will do next is head to the gardens next Saturday for those heats. They look like being hot heats already by the sounds of the people that have indicated they're going to head that way. And if they don't have any luck, Peter said they've still got that last chance round at Wentworth Park on October 5, where winners only will get through to the semi-final. So there's still a few chances for the defending champion to get through, and I'm sure everyone would like to see Mystic Riot through to the semi-finals.
This Friday at Casino, we've got the regional final there, and there are 6 Queenslanders lining up.
It was actually last Friday's time. We had that final at Casino. The 6 Queenslanders, they all travelled across the border, and there's quite a few heading to Lismore on Tuesday for their heats of the Tab $1 million chase as well. But it was actually a local that jumped out. It was Mark Wilkes trained Painted Pictures, trained 3 kilometres from the track, he was telling me. So it was a nice short trip there. None of this is across the border for him. He said the dog loves the track. It obviously does. It's had 8 starts for 7 wins there. Congratulations to Mark. He told the story of the dog he actually loaned his mate Terry Jordan. The money for the service fee to Fernando Bale for Terry's bitch, Amy Linden. And to pay off that deal, Terry said you could pick a couple of pups, and one of those 2 pups was Painted Pitcher, and he's now into the semi-finals of the $1 million chase with Painted Pitcher. So that was an exciting, good story out of that one.
Yeah, I was actually on air when we were putting that race to air. Stinger Noir was the one that I was watching because Timmy Newbold had it as his on-top selection. It didn't do much there from box one as an even money favourite.
Very disappointing it was, very disappointing. Yeah, there was a couple in there that were disappointing. Quara's Flick was another one for Brett Hazelgrove. It was expected to at least figure in the first 4 and get through the semis, but it missed out. And like a few of the others, Damn Slippery, another one. It's headed to Lismore for those heats on Tuesday to try and sneak through that way. At least there's plenty of options for trainers. If they do miss out somewhere, they can find another venue to try and qualify. So we try and give them every chance they possibly can to get the good dogs through and get the strongest 64 into the semi-finals.
And there was a good story out of Dubbo on Thursday night when Good Odds Buddy won the regional final.
It was yet another one. It's just incredible. Feral Frankie wins at Gunnedah. Good Odds Harada wins at Bathurst. Solar Sky runs 3rd at Bathurst, gets through the semis, and Good Odds Buddy now gets through the semi-finals as well, courtesy of that fantastic win at Dapdo on Thursday. And those four dogs all by out of the collision solar pack litter. It's just incredible. Three brothers and one sister through to the semi-finals. Just an amazing story. And there's another one actually going around at Dubbo today. There's a dog called Inversion, trained by Michael Hardman. It's another one out of that litter. So potentially, by this time next week, we could have five out of the same litter into the semi-finals. Totally unheard of, but it's super strong litter. And, great effort by all involved. Frank Hurst trained good on